Today, Governor Baker, on a new shipment of rapid test kits for the Commonwealth, Jordan Goodman, and a COVID-fractured economy. The state fire marshal offers frozen pipe tips, and yet another revamped visitor policy for Bay State. And it's all coming up.
Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd today. Here's Brad Shepherd.
It's Wednesday, January 12, 2022. An Arctic blast from Canada has turned Western Mass into Siberia yesterday, and it's just a shade warmer today. We have information. We have guests. Let's get right to it, right after the weather. Sunny and cloudy today. It'll be a mix. It'll be breezy. The highs will be between 32 and 36 degrees. Now for tonight, the overnight low is between 14 and 20. The conditions are mostly cloudy. State Fire Marshal Peter J. Ostrowski has offered tips for preventing frozen pipes. These are timely tips, quite obviously. When the water is very cold outside, let the water drip from faucets with pipes at outside walls. Running water through the pipe, even at a trickle, helps prevent pipes from freezing. The temperature of the running water is above freezing. Open kitchen and bathroom cabinet doors to allow warmer air to circulate around the plumbing. Be sure to move any harmful cleaners and household chemicals up and out of the reach of children. Keep the thermostat set to the same temperature day and night. Don't lower the temperature at night during the cold spell. It might raise the heating bill a little bit, but can prevent a much more costly repair job if pipes freeze and burst. If you'll be going away during cold weather, leave the heat on in your home or business and set to a temperature no lower than 55 degrees. Shut off outside water. Now, should you have frozen pipes and you want to thaw them, if you turn on a faucet and only a trickle comes out, suspect a frozen pipe. Locate the area of the water pipe that might be frozen. The most likely places are pipes running against exterior walls or where your water surface enters your home. Keep the faucet open as you treat the frozen pipe and the frozen area begins to melt. The water will begin to flow through the frozen area. Running water through the pipe will help melt more ice in the pipe. Apply heat to the section of pipe using an electric heating pad wrapped around the pipe, an electric hair dryer, or wrapping towels soaked in hot water. Do not use a blowtorch, kerosene or propane heater, charcoal stove, or other open flame devices. A blowtorch can make water in a frozen pipe boil and cause the pipe to explode. All open flames in homes present a serious fire danger, as well as a severe risk of exposure to lethal carbon monoxide. Apply heat until full water pressure is restored, and if you're unable to locate the frozen area, if the frozen area is not accessible, or if you can't thaw the pipe, call a licensed plumber. I know that's your last resort, but sometimes you gotta do it. Check all other faucets in your home to find out if you have additional frozen pipes. If one pipe freezes, others may well freeze too. Be careful using space heaters to warm up areas near pipes. Don't overload circuits. Plug space heaters directly into wall outlets. Try not to use extension cords, but if you have to, make sure it's rated for the appliance and only use one. Heat-producing appliances need stronger extension cords than lamps. And remember not to leave the door of a gas oven open. It will produce large amounts of carbon monoxide. Be sure there are working smoke and carbon monoxide alarms on every level of the home. In order to protect sprinkler systems, check on your building during the cold snap, especially if you don't have a low temperature alarm. Make sure that all portions of the building remain heated to at least 40 degrees and not exposed to freezing conditions. Setting the thermostat higher, at least 50 to 60 degrees, during this cold snap will help make sure pipes in concealed areas stay warm. Westfield State University has announced that classes for the first 4 days of the semester, which run from January 18th through the 21st, will be offered remotely. In-person classes will then pick up as scheduled on Monday, January 24th. Residence halls will be open to students this Sunday, and students must provide a negative COVID-19 PCR test conducted within 72 hours prior to their return. Governor Baker has announced an additional 26 million rapid COVID tests to be distributed throughout the Commonwealth.
Today we're announcing that we secured an order with iHealth Labs to supply the Commonwealth with 26 million rapid antigen tests over the next 3 months. We expect to receive rolling shipments from this contract beginning this week. The timing and size of the shipments will vary a bit depending on international shipping and production variables. The tests will be prioritized to support K-12 education and child care. We'll provide more details on how we plan to distribute these tests to these entities shortly. As we've said many times over the course of the past few months, rapid tests are convenient and efficient. They can be completed at home with results in just 15 minutes. They are also accurate in detecting when someone is about to infect others, and that's why our administration is prioritizing securing these tests. The 26 million tests come on top of the 2.1 million rapid tests that we gave to 102 cities and towns before the holidays, and the 200,000 tests we distributed to educators before they came back after the winter break.
Governor Baker.
Time now for our first visit with America's Money Answers Man for the new year. So I have a very happy 2022 to Jordan Goodman. Jordan, welcome back to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Great to be with you, Brad. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Well, I hope this is, everybody says, it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, that 2022 has got to be better than 2021. Well, not necessarily. That's the optimistic view. But how are we starting out, Jordan? What's our initial footing?
Well, the stock market's been quite volatile because there's a big change in Federal Reserve policy that's going to be implemented this year. The Federal Reserve has kept interest rates at zero for a long time, been very accommodative, pouring money into the economy, $120 billion a month for a long time. That started to slow down in November, and now they're saying that they're going to start raising interest rates probably in March before people thinking maybe June. So they're going to stop all the accommodation they've had. The bond buying program is going to be gone, and they're going to start raising interest rates because inflation is really roaring ahead here. Consumer inflation is at roughly 7%. Wholesale inflation is roughly 10%. And the interest rates of the Federal Reserve is at zero. I mean, normally that wouldn't even be close. You'd have interest rates at 5 or 6%, something like that. So the Fed is way behind the curve here. So with them raising interest rates, that makes the stock market kind of nervous because the valuations, we have very, very high valuations. The stock market, the Dow Jones hit 70 new highs in 2021. So it's highly valued. Technology stocks on average are valued at about a 38 times price-earnings ratio, which is amongst the highest ever. So there's a lot of hype and fluff in the market, I guess you might say, and higher interest rates take the stuffing out of that. So you've seen a fall in some of the high-flying technology stocks. A lot of the IPOs from last year, most of them are now below when they were initially offered. Bitcoin, which got up to 65,000, is now about 40,000. So you've had kind of a taking out of the hype of the high-flying part of the market because interest rates have gone up. The 10-year Treasury, which in mid-December was about 1.4%, is now about 1.8%. That's a pretty big move in a short period of time. So that's what you're going to see in 2022, raising interest rates on the Federal Reserve, and I think the hype is gone for a lot of the high flyers.
You mentioned the stock market. Offhand, do you know how the airlines are doing in terms of their stock? Are they resistant at all to what's going on? I saw an item today about how terrible they're coping with the shortage of manpower and canceling
flights. Thousands of flights being canceled, yeah. I mean, the airlines are like a bet on whether we're going to get through COVID or not. If we do get through it, people want to travel and they'd have a great business. If we're not going to get through it, and if COVID continues to devastate their workforce, they're going to be in bad shape. So the stocks are kind of a bet one way or the other. Right now, clearly COVID is winning. We're getting over a million cases a day, and that's going to continue to cause shutdowns of businesses, people staying at home, people not traveling. Cruise ships are becoming floating petri dishes. So COVID is really running the economy right now.
Well, the word as of today in some newspaper articles that I have just gone through is that the administration is saying we are not going to shut down America again. We're not going to do it.
Well, I mean, they may not shut things down, but in many cases, I mean, school systems are closing down. Certainly mandates are hitting a lot of workers who do not want to have the vaccine. It's really being done more at the state level. Some states quite tight, some states quite loose. Around the world, there's a lot of shutdowns going on. All of the Netherlands is pretty much locked down. Austria, Germany, a large part of it. This hurts the economy when things get shut down, which is the only way to stop the growth of the virus, because it's not only transmissibility, but it's breaking through. I mean, lots of people have the vaccines and the booster, and they're still getting COVID. Mm-hmm. So the difference between now and when this first thing started in December of 2019 is we do have tools. We do have vaccines. We do have monoclonal antibody infusions. We do have pills coming from Merck and Pfizer once you get COVID. So it's not killing as many people because we've got some tools now, but it's spreading fast, and we're going to have another variant. The Omicron is not going to be the last one we're ever going to see. So this is part of life as we're going to have it going forward.
It's an interesting point because obviously it gets wildly politicized the minute you start talking about this, and there's a back and forth endlessly. But I will say this, from my own perspective, almost everybody that I know who has in fact contracted COVID has been somebody wearing masks and getting complete immunization. Now, I'm not saying that to suggest that I don't think you should. I have been completely immunized and I wear masks. The point that I'm making is I'm not quite sure that this is any kind of an adequate defense against this thing.
It isn't. I mean, there's a ton of breakthrough cases. That's right. Mm. But the new thing that we have now is the pill from both Merck and Pfizer that will be a therapeutic. Once you have COVID, it's going to stop it from getting worse. So there, we have new things coming all the time. The death rate is not close to what it was in the early stages when we had no defense against it whatsoever.
Right. So what you're saying is we still have the spread, but we can look forward to some slight improvement in the manageability of the whole thing should you be unfortunate enough to contract it.
That's right. I mean, the death rate is still pretty low from when people contract it. The vast majority of people do get over it. But it does slow the economy a lot. So, I mean, the Fed has two things to deal with. On one hand, it's got the inflation we talked about, 7% at the retail level, and they want to stamp that out by raising interest rates. Then we have the slowdown from the closures from COVID, and then we've got this gargantuan labor shortage, just gargantuan. Yeah. Over 11 million jobs unfilled. The latest numbers of unemployment went down to 3.9% from 4.2%. But it would have gone down even more had people been able to find workers. We have desperate employers looking for workers all over the place. And I think that's going to get worse this year because the baby boomers keep retiring. They're in their 60s and 70s. The younger people, they just want to stay home and play video games or something. They don't want to do the job that baby boomers were doing. So the labor shortage is going to be one of the big trends of 2022.
Well, let's add to this that we're approaching mid-January, which is just the time that it starts and it peaks in February, that the bills are coming due for Christmas and the credit cards are heating up in everybody's wallet. Where are we at there?
So spending on Christmas was 8% higher for 2021 versus 2020. And now the bills are coming in. You're right. And people are going to be paying very, very high interest rates on their credit cards at a time they're continuing to earn nothing on their savings accounts and checking accounts. So the least they can do is get lower interest rates and get better deals on their credit cards. A website I have at moneyanswers.com is called myguidetocreditcards.com, where you can get lower interest. You can get 0% balance transfer offers. You can get 5% cash back. You can get frequent flyer miles. There's loads of cards to be had, but you've got to go get them and not wait for whatever shows up, which is typically the worst kind of deal. So, yes, yeah. As these credit card bills come in, maybe consolidate them onto one new card at a lower or 0% interest rate for a while. And you don't want to be paying interest on gifts you gave months ago. So again, myguidetocreditcards.com is the website for that.
Well, as always, Jordan is very responsive to Western Mass and to our listeners here at Pioneer Valley Radio, and you can reach him if you email him through his website, which is moneyanswers.com. And if you go on that website, you're going to find so much information. There, I doubt there's any financial or economic question you want to ask that you can't be pointed in the right direction through moneyanswers.com. So, Jordan, thank you very much for being with us as per usual. Stay warm in New York, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Brad. It's going to be a very interesting year, 2022.
The Department of Public Health is asking all Massachusetts hospitals, including Bay State Health, to urge potential visitors to defer visitation until further notice due to a national and statewide increase in COVID-19. Effective immediately at all Bay State hospitals. As a result, non-COVID ICU patients are allowed one visitor per day, regardless of age. Previously, ICU patients had been allowed two visitors per day. Non-COVID inpatients, the policy remains the same at one visitor per day. Non-COVID patients in the emergency department may still have one care partner if there is space to physical distance them. There is significantly more to this, so check with Bay State to see how these changes might affect you. Well, we'll hold here for today. I want to thank you for being with us on our program and remind you we'll be back tomorrow with our Thursday edition, and that'll be up online at 6 a.m. and available to you on demand virtually around the clock. So, thank you very much for being with our program today, a service of Pioneer Valley Radio. I'm Brad Shepherd. We'll talk again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2022.
All rights reserved.